All right, we're going to talk about something that you've heard probably all your life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus said, "Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." We have heard this our lives as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Have you ever been faced with a situation with a need to make a decision on the spur of the moment, wondering what's the right way to act? And maybe you're unable to recall whether the Bible specifically addresses the moral dilemma that you are now facing. You find yourself embroiled in a particular situation that you can't really come up with a passage of scripture that would address this particular situation. I'm convinced that Jesus provides a helpful tool in these kinds of situations. Quick and easy way to know what to do. Something that's easy to remember. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Or as Jesus phrased it, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We call that the golden rule. But what is the golden rule? Was Jesus teaching anything new or original in what he stated? I suggest to you some things that I refer to as the golden rule versus the silver rule. Many have taught a principle that is very similar to what Jesus taught, but as we're going to notice in our study, it doesn't go as far as what our Lord taught. I want to just notice some statements from some various religious organizations, religions of the world, that have somewhat of a similar lesson. In the Hindu religion, they teach this is the sum of duty. Do not to others which you have done to thee would cause thee pain. This is from a work in India. Mahabharata, I think is the way it's pronounced. In the Hindu religion, this is the sum of duty. Do not or do nothing to others which you have done to you because you pain. In the Buddhist religion, they teach hurt not others with that which pains yourself. This is from an early Buddhist collection of sayings. This sounds somewhat similar to what Jesus taught. Hurt not others with that which pains yourself. Don't do unto others what you don't want them to do to you. That's basically what it says. In the Jewish tradition, they taught what is hateful to you, do not to your fellow man. That's the entire law. All the rest is commentary. That comes from the Talmud, which is Jewish religious law. And so it approaches this from a negative standpoint, as does these others that we just noticed. What is hateful to you, don't do that to your fellow man. Then in the Muslim religion, they teach no one of you is a believer until he desires for his brother that which he desires for himself. From the Hadith, which is a collection of sayings of Muhammad. No one of you is a believer until he desires for his brother that which he desires for himself. Very similar. This approaches it from a positive standpoint, whereas some of the others approach it from a negative standpoint. Do to others what you want them to do to you. In Baha'i faith, it teaches, he should not wish for others that which he doth not wish for himself, nor promise that which he doth not fulfill. From a book of certitude, from a writer in Baghdad, 1861 to 1862. These are just quotes from various religions. I found some other sources that predate these, or they really predate what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. So here are some other sources. Do not that to thy neighbor that thou wouldest not suffer from him. This is from Pittacus, who was a Greek statesman, 650 to 570 B.C. Over 500 years before our Lord was born. Do not that to thy neighbor that thou wouldest not suffer from him. Don't do to your neighbor what you don't want him to do to you. Again, this is approaching it from a negative standpoint. Here's one from Confucius, Chinese philosopher, 551 to 479 B.C. What you do not want others to do to you, do not do to others. Again, approaching this from a negative standpoint. Don't do to other people what you don't want them to do to you. Then there's Socrates, and when I first looked at this and read it, I thought it was talking about Socrates, but it's not. It's Socrates. Predates Socrates, if I remember correctly. This is a Greek orator from 436 to 338 B.C. Do not do unto others what angers you, if done to you by others. Don't do to other people what would make you mad if they did it to you. Now, these all sound very, very similar. But I want you to notice that what Jesus said is different. Notice the difference in what our Lord said and what these philosophers and these various religious people have to say. What Jesus said requires us to do something favorably to others, while the others only prohibit you from doing something unfavorable. You see the difference? Jesus wants us to do good to others, even though they may not do good to us. Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. Whatever you want done to you, you do to others. Do something favorable to them. Do unto others what you want done to you. That's what Jesus said. These others that we've read from say, don't do to others what you don't want done to you. You see, Jesus approaches this from a positive standpoint. Others just simply approach it from a negative standpoint. With the others, all that's required is don't harm other people. Whereas Jesus required us to show kindness to others, even though they may not show kindness to us. So we refer to what Jesus said as the golden rule, far superior to the others. We understand the distinction between gold and silver. Jesus' rule we refer to as the golden rule. These others are the thinking of men that primarily approach this from the negative standpoint. The only ones coming close to what Jesus taught was that found in the Hadith, which is the tradition of Islam. But if you read very much from the Islamic faith, it's based on what Jesus taught. And what Jesus taught was 600 years before Muhammad. And that's stated by Seneca, who lived about the same time as Christ. And so really they got what they said from what our Lord said. So what Jesus taught was something new compared to what many had taught prior. But in another sense, it was nothing new Rather simple and easy to remember statement. What we're looking here is a guideline for righteous conduct toward other people. This is in harmony with the law and the prophets. Notice, if you back up in Matthew chapter 5, beginning there at verse 20, as we began this series of lessons on the Sermon on the Mount, the text says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in the danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, righteous, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled with thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him. Lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. You have heard that it had been said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, what whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, committed adultery with her already in his heart. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That's rather lengthy reading, obviously. But as you read this, you find the fact that Jesus taught a standard of righteousness contrasted with what the scribes and Pharisees were teaching. We went through many of these in our studies. What Jesus taught was that which was really in harmony with the law. What he was confronting was a tradition of the scribes and Pharisees. Notice the emphasis in these passages, "but I say unto you." Well, I think we can all agree on the fact that Jesus was not teaching some new doctrine that had never existed before. What Jesus taught was the same thing the law and the prophets taught. When he said, when asked what the greatest commandment was, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Notice what he said. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. What Jesus called in regard to our relationship to other people are principles that have been true ever since the world began. So this is not really some new doctrine that Jesus taught. Men have taken this rule that Jesus gave and have given it somewhat of a new meaning. Left out part of it, made it say what they wanted it to say. What we have here is sort of like maybe a pocket knife or a carpenter's rule, something that's always ready to be used. That's what this rule is. Something that we can have on our fingertips or on the tip of our tongue, maybe, would be a better way to say it. To treat others as you would want to be treated. If you do that, it's unlikely that you'll ever really do the wrong thing. If you just treat others in the way that you want to be treated. Now I want to look at some examples of how to apply this rule that we're talking about. Imagine yourself trying to teach someone who is lost. What must it be like to be told you're wrong? To be told you're in sin? And as a result, you're going to be lost. Well, there's millions of people in that condition all over the world. We're given the responsibility from our Lord to go teach all nations, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And so, just imagine yourself talking with your neighbor, your friend, whoever it might be. Wouldn't you want to be told in a loving, kind, and with a patient disposition of heart? If you are in sin, yes, you need to be told. We need to be doing what we can to teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, we need to be making sure that we do this in proper way. When we're talking about this guideline for righteous conduct toward others, reminded of what Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 10. He said, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. When you're trying to teach someone, do it out of the spirit of love. When he continues, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment is briefly comprehended this saying, namely thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't that what Jesus said? Second great commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Loving God and loving our fellow man. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. As Paul continues in verse 10, he said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And so in applying this rule, we need to recognize how vital it is to have love in our hearts. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. The word apt just simply means able, able to teach. The only way we can become able to teach is to acquaint ourselves with what the Word of God says. That doesn't mean I have to be able to quote the entire Bible. But I do need to have a good working knowledge of what the scriptures teach as I begin to try to convey to other people principles from the New Testament, the law of Christ. I need to have some kind of working knowledge of that before I can teach it to someone else. As Paul continues, he said, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure, or God perhaps, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. They recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. That suggests to you that this individual you're talking to is indeed a sinner. They're outside the body of Christ. They're lost. With what kind of disposition of heart are you going to approach this individual? That's where this golden rule comes into play. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you were lost, if you were in sin, someone came to you, how would you want them to come to you? How would you want them to approach you? The same thing is true in regard to correcting one another. We're all human beings. I sin. I make mistakes. Paul said, we all sin. Romans 3:23. Come toward the glory of God. Jesus said, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. We're all sinners. Even those of us who are members of the body of Christ. We sometimes fall into error. And we don't really like to have our mistakes, our errors pointed out. But sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes you need to come to me. Talk to me. Maybe about something I ought to be doing that I'm not doing. Maybe something I have done that I should not have done. Maybe something I'm not aware of. As you come to me and try to point out my errors, and yes, sometimes it is necessary, wouldn't I and wouldn't you prefer to be approached with a meek and patient spirit? As the Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If a man be overtaken in a fault, he's talking to brethren now. As Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, he said, speaking the truth in love. The truth has to be spoken. Whether we're talking to someone who is not a Christian, or whether we're talking to someone who is a Christian. Facts have to be dealt with. But in what kind of spirit are we going to deal with it? It's in this same context in Galatians 6, verse 2, that Paul says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes we have to have our errors pointed out. What kind of spirit, what kind of disposition of heart I'm going to have when I make an effort to do that? We're talking about our family, our neighbors, our enemies. Everyone likes to have loving families. Everyone likes to have good neighbors. No one has a desire for enemies, not that I know of. When we apply this rule that our Lord gives here, we not only transform ourselves, but we may also be able to transform those around us. If we treat others in the way that we would like to be treated, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If this rule was practiced among everybody, sibling rivalry would cease. Neighborly squabbles would be non-existent. Enemies would become friends. So what we're trying to say to you is, we don't need to limit the golden rule just to religious matters. This rule applies in everyday activities. on the job, at school, at the grocery store, at the sports complex, wherever you may be. Does that mean that I think I always apply this golden rule like it ought to be applied in every situation? Absolutely not. I know I don't. But something else I also know. I know that I need to be making an effort to do that in whatever situation I find myself. My Lord did. Even those who were sent to take him, they came back empty-handed. They said, why haven't you brought him? They said, never a man spake like this man. It was said of our Lord, he went about doing good. Yes, he corrected error. He went to the temple and he overturned the tables of the money changers. He made a scourge of cords, a small whip, drove them out of the temple. Jesus exhibited righteous indignation. That's what the situation called for. These people knew that what they were doing was not right, but they're doing it anyway. Jesus said, you've taken my Father's house and you made it a den of thieves. So there are times when it calls for righteous indignation, but even in doing that, we need to recognize this principle in our lives. If I was in that situation, if I was buying and selling merchandise in the house of God, I need to recognize it would be right for someone to call my hand on that, to make me aware that what I'm doing is sinful, because my eternal soul depends on it. And so that's the kind of disposition we need to have for those around us. The golden rule would reconcile capital and labor, all political contention and uproar, all selfishness and greed. Statement made by Joseph Parker in 1830. I lived from 1830 to 1902. Don't know exactly when he made the statement. But he recognized the golden rule would do this. Reconcile capital and labor. All labor disputes would dissolve into nothingness. All political contention and uproar, all selfishness and greed would vanish if we just apply this rule to our lives. This would be the impact on the society in which we live. If we simply followed the words of our Lord. But we start close to home. We let the golden rule transform our own lives and those closest to us. Most of us have committed this rule to memory. Maybe not exactly the way it's worded in the New Testament, but we know the gist of it. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. We've heard that from our youth on up. So now, let's commit it to life. That's what Edwin Markham said. He lived from 1852 to 1940. Most people know this rule, but most people don't live by it. That makes it very difficult for us as children of God. It makes it much harder for us to apply this rule in our own lives because other people don't apply it in their lives. But just because they don't apply it in their life, that does not excuse me from doing everything within my power to make sure that I exhibit this disposition of heart in my life as I deal with other people. So, if Jesus is truly our Lord, then his golden rule will govern our life. Question arises, am I allowing this rule to govern my life? Am I allowing it to regulate and control the activities in which I am engaged on a regular basis? If not, I need to be making some changes in my life. Changing my attitude about life, about people, about situations, all kinds of things. It has to do with our attitude. And this rule will determine what our attitude is if we'll just put it into practice in our life. Maybe that there are those in the audience that are not members of the body of Christ, never obeyed the gospel. If that's the case, you can do that tonight. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. The Lord will add you to His church. If you have obeyed the gospel, you realize there's sin in your life. You can make that right, even tonight, as we stand and sing for your encouragement.